This is London Calling.
Welcome to the programme. I'm Graham Mack, and of course the big news is the transatlantic royal wedding. Let's cross now to Jim McCabe in Philadelphia. Is it big news there, Jim?
Oh, yes.
Prince Harry is going to marry, and he's going to marry a Yank.
Yeah, the first ever.
That'll never work out.
Well, second ever.
Yes, but didn't work out too well last time. Bloke had to abdicate.
Okay, yes.
You know what they're up to, though, really, don't you?
What's that?
They're playing the long game here, but here's what's going on. Prince Harry is going to marry a septic tank, a Yank. And that means... Oh, a bit of Cockney rhyming slang. I just threw that in there.
Yeah.
That means that their children will be American citizens. They'll have joint citizenship, but they will be American citizens as well as British.
Yeah, true.
Yes. Now, as they are American citizens, those children, if they want to, can become president. I put it to you, this whole plan is for Prince Harry and Princess or Duchess or whatever they are going to call her, Meghan, they're going to have children who will be Americans. One of them will become the president and will be in line to the British throne. I put it to you that they're playing the long game and Britain is trying to get America back. That's what's going on here. We want it back.
It's a long con.
Yes, but that's where we're headed here.
Yes.
Now, in the interview, when the news came out, Harry said he'd never seen the show Suits when he met her.
So I think she said, I didn't know much about him. Wanted to know if he was nice.
Yes.
And he said, I'd never heard of her.
Yes.
Right. He's a royal?
Yes.
Dear God. Someone had said to him, she's an American actress. Someone had to have done.
So you're not buying that
in
bit.
His ear.
Well, the bit I'm not buying is when she said, I hadn't really heard much about him. Oh, really? Where's she been living?
Bullshit.
Thank you for calling it like it is. No one's buying that one. Oh, I didn't really know much about him. Really? He's fifth in line to the throne. She'd never even heard of the fella.
Really? Him saying, I've never heard of her? This is what he said.
Right.
Really?
Wow.
You're fifth in line to the British throne.
Yeah.
Your security doesn't know about this Meghan Markle?
They
really?
They must have known.
How could you not?
I think they'll know which way her great-grandfather voted before she gets to meet him. Looking for any links to Irish or Islamic or anything terrorism.
Yes.
They'll know all about her.
And he said on an interview, I'd never known anything about her. I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bizarre situation. I don't know whether you'd call it a constitutional crisis or a conflict of interest. But the bit I don't understand is, now, in America, you have private celebrities. These are celebrities who earn their money from private businesses. Singers, dancers, actors, actresses, broadcasters, whatever. They charge a fee to the people who are making movies, private companies, whatever. Now, we have that too, but we also have nationalized celebrities, the royal family. We pay them from our tax money to be famous for us. Now, she is about to join the ranks of the nationalized celebrity. And the thing is, they reckon she's worth about £3 million, and he's worth, I don't know, the whole of Wales or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And And
yes, the Duchy of Cambridge,
something like that.
He's the Prince of Cambridge, or
I don't know what the hell he is. Anyway, but he's mega rich, and she's just a bit rich. We are going to fund their lifestyle. We are going to pay for their accommodation, and not just any old accommodation. They'll be in a palace, a castle, or a stately home at the very minimum. We're going to pay them a fee annually from what they call the sovereign grant. We are going to pay for their children to be educated in the finest schools in Britain, private schools. We're going to pay rich people from our taxation. But they're not. It's not like they're in government or anything. You know, we're not paying them. Sure, we pay rich people to be in our parliament, but they're actually doing something. They're running the country. The royals are just being royals, just waving and pulling strings that pull open curtains on plaques. That's all they do. And she is now going to be part of that. And I don't understand why, because the only reason you could come up with, and it's a bizarre one, but some people must believe it because it goes on. The only reason why you must believe that it's okay for someone who's born into one particular dysfunctional German family that we should pay them. The only reason why you should think they should is because you think these people are in some way genetically superior to us. Sort of demigods or something. Okay, well, if you believe that, then you can justify paying rich people money. Because I thought the whole idea of paying taxation that pays money directly to people is to help the most vulnerable in our society, not the mega wealthy. But anyway,
this is just the mega wealthy.
Yeah. So
it's the mega wealthy on top of the mega wealthy. Because she's an actress.
Oh, and she's an
A-lister at that.
Suddenly, she is now. But if she wasn't born into this dysfunctional German family.
And I must say, I have watched the show Suits.
Mm-hmm.
She's not great.
What's it about?
It's about fraud.
Really? How about that?
It's the entire show is about fraud.
Well, you'll be happy to know some of the money I pay in income tax will be going to pay for her lifestyle. I don't know why. I have no idea. But I'm not, even if you did buy the demigod theory, well, she's not clearly one of those. And did you see the interview? It looked more like one of those press junket things for a new movie.
Yes, it did.
It didn't look like a young...
It just smacked of that.
It just looked like that. I know it wasn't a hotel room, but it looked like, you know, with the little lamp strategically placed and the matching furniture, it looked like
a
hotel room that's been set up for a press junket about the release of a new movie. And she looked more like an actress sitting alongside her co-star, who play a couple who are romantically linked, and perhaps it's even a movie about a Hollywood actress meeting a prince. She looked more like she was in junket mode than in happy couple mode.
Yeah.
I would have thought more of a... I think the press office at the palace have made a big mistake there. I think they should have had them somewhere at some kind of country retreat, maybe outdoors, maybe leaning on a fence post with horses galloping in the background, talking. But to have them, it just looked press junket for a movie to me. I don't know what they were thinking.
They had them walking down into the sunken garden at Kensington Palace.
Oh, I didn't see that bit. I only saw the clips on the news.
At one point, just for photographs.
I see.
And then cut to hotel room.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't a hotel room. I'm sure, but it looked a lot like it had been done up to make it look like a press. And like, you know, it's almost like they. Where was the stand-up banner behind them that said Royal Wedding coming soon, the sequel, you know, Royal Wedding 2, you know, this time the last Royal Wedding star's brother is getting married to a commoner. This time she's American. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that would be the banner thing over this time. Royal Wedding 2. This time with an American. Yeah, Royal Wedding 2, the American. That poster was missing from the junket set. That's what they need. One of those stand-up banners, you know, those ones that are sprung-loaded things that they, yeah. That's what it looked like it needed to me, just to complete the illusion.
It's stupid. It really is stupid.
Yeah. And we're gonna pay for it all. And we don't even get a day off. Some people are saying, is it going to be a public holiday the day of the royal wedding? No.
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 You're all going to work to earn the money that we can tax to pay for it all. A bloke rang me this morning on the show, and he said, why am I chipping in for this? And I said, because that's the way it is. And he went, that's like one of my neighbors saying, oi, you're chipping in for the wedding. I said, yeah, and then telling you you're not invited. That's what it's like.
And there's an MP trying to say, oh, you know what? They need a royal yacht.
Oh, really? I haven't heard this one.
Yes.
A royal... Well, we used to have a royal yacht. They called it the royal yacht. It was a ship. Britannia was not a yacht. It's a ship. Now, you are a nautical man. You know that's not a yacht. That's no yacht. That's a ship.
No. There's an MP saying, oh, you know what? We don't have access to Britannia anymore.
Yeah.
We need a new one.
Right.
So Prince Harry, fifth in line,
yeah,
can go on and his bride, an American.
American.
So they can cruise the world in style.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What?
Yes.
So they can do what?
Yes. And that's most of what these people do. A tiny proportion of their time.
They do nothing.
I know. A tiny proportion of their time is spent, you know, cutting ribbons and opening wings of hospitals and all the rest of it. But they only do that to get PR for themselves. It's like any business has its business. It has what it does, what it trades in, whatever that is. And then on top of that, they do a bit of PR. So they might sponsor a singing contest at the local school, or whatever they do. They do PR. The royals, all they do is PR. There is no other work. There is no actual, there's not, no other thing besides that. Everything they do, from him being in the army, in inverted commas, and going to Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it was he went, to his brother.
Did Prince Harry do that? I know William did. Did Harry do that?
Harry did
as well?
That. Yeah, he did. But William, he flew a rescue helicopter on the odd afternoon. I mean, he wasn't full time. I mean, everything they do is a PR stunt, including the wedding. Nobody invites visiting heads of state to their wedding, proving that it's a... And here's the other thing, that the guest list and where to seat them, because she's apparently spoken out against Trump. Well, Trump is the head of state of one of our greatest allies. So Trump will be invited to the royal wedding. She hates him. There's already a conflict there. This is classic wedding thing.
Yeah.
Trump will be invited. And then he's not real popular on this side of the Atlantic at all.
So put him at the kids' table with, you know, with the third or fourth cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, little Lord pain in the ass, who's flicking
little
peas
Lord
with his
Fauntleroy
spoon.
Will be even, and Trump at the same table.
Yeah. But then they reckon Obama's going to be there. I don't know why. Maybe she's friends with Obama, or the Obamas are going to be there. Well, you know, Obama and Trump, you're going to have to keep them apart. I mean, that's not going to... You can't put them on the same table. You can't have, like, an American's table. You'd have to split them all up. But Trump, Trump's got to be on the kids' table. He really has. But little Lord Fauntleroy, and little Lord Fauntleroy sticking a frog down his shoe or something. And, you know, little Lord Fauntleroy's just a little shit. He's just,
I was watching the news here. It was them getting engaged and talking about their engagement. Fine. And then they talked about her meeting the Queen for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and how the corgis talked to her.
I saw that bit. Yeah.
Who cares? Really?
Yeah, this is the endorsement we have.
The dogs?
Yes.
The dogs?
Yes. The dogs didn't bark and wagged their tails when she walked in the room, and they normally bark at Harry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Could that be because Harry grew up as a grandchild of that and was probably giving the dogs treats and stuff? Could that be why they bark? Do you think it's Uncle Harry with the treats? Oh, where's the treats? Bark, bark, bark. Where's the treats? Bark, bark, bark. And then they see her walking. Who's she? I don't know. They're going to be quiet. But yeah, that was the glowing endorsement they got.
What did the Queen say? She's nice.
Yeah. That's
something on that order.
The official line from our head of state. She basically said nothing. But the corgis liked her.
Yeah. So that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I first heard that Prince Harry was going to get engaged to Meghan Markle, my first thought wasn't, I wonder what the corgis think of this. Not where I went.
Yeah.
They snapped at that nasty Mr. Putin. We don't want a repeat of that. That would be just too much. Yeah. The whole thing is just bizarre. You know, if they really, really, you know, I would have so much admiration for them if the news was, and now the news, reports are coming in that Prince Harry, fifth in line to the throne, has eloped with an American. He's believed to be living in a shack in Alaska right now. I would be really impressed if they just like said, come on, let's just run off and get married and be us and to hell with all this bollocks.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't. They've made it this big thing. And any minute now, someone who's met them is going to tell us how down to earth they are.
For the Queen to say, for the Queen who's married to Prince Philip, who is a German
racist. No, he's a Greek. He's Greek. He's a Greek racist, cheating knob.
But a royal.
Yeah. Yeah.
On top of that.
Yes.
Oh. You're going to marry an American actress?
Yes.
F*** you. I think it's her first words. You know what? I think your ancestor tried to do this and he abdicated.
That's what he did. He had to. He was forced into it. They said, you cannot be married. Here's the weird thing. Edward VIII abdicated for two reasons, because he wasn't allowed to marry Wallace Simpson for two distinct points. Number one.
An American divorcee.
She was American. And number two, she's divorced. Okay, well, let's have a look at it now. We now have fifth in line to the throne marrying an American. And first in line to the throne is married to a divorcee.
Yes.
Prince Charles, Camilla Park Your Balls, she is divorced, isn't she?
Yes.
So, you know, what's going on here?
Yes. So, when as soon as they said, oh, yes, Prince Harry's marrying an American and has the Queen's blessing, my first thought was, bullshit.
No, she can't be impressed.
There's no way.
Harry has always been a bit of a concern, and now he's outdone himself.
Yes.
He's always been a bit of a worry, that Harry. American, not just American, American actress.
Yes. Yes. Yes, because the actresses have always had a great tradition.
Yes.
In the UK.
That's right, the American actresses. Yeah. Wow.
Or actresses in general.
Hmm.
You know, go back to Charles II with what was her name? She was an orange girl at the Globe Theatre. Oh yes, he had a famous affair with an actress.
Well, we have like a cliched thing here about the start of a politically incorrect joke that I've never heard the joke, but the start of it is always, well, as the actress told the bishop. And it's along those lines, isn't it? As the actress told the royal. I wish I was in Australia right now, because they will have a really good take on it. I know a lot of my mates, and I just know exactly what they'll say. They'll say like, oh, mate, he went for her, did he? He could have had any woman in the world. He's a bloody prince. You don't get a better chat-up line than that. Guess what? I'm a prince. And then they would follow it up with, I'll bet she bangs like a dunny door in a gale. Yeah. I mean, when you consider, you know, the talent pool that was available to him, to choose her, must be something special going on there.
Yeah, and this is the first American princess.
Yeah. I blame Brexit. I think because we have no friends in Europe anymore. We've made Europe a real enemy. Trade is going to be a problem. We need to find some link, some bond with another economy that's extremely successful and could help us out. And that's what this is. That's what royals traditionally do, you know? That's why
I don't understand why it's American, because the UK-American bond is already there.
Well,
so
I think,
why not for Harry choose someone from Spain? Or why not Harry choose someone from Catalonia? Ooh,
oh,
that would be even better.
Because they used to marry them off to the Spanish to stop wars.
Yes.
Royals were often, but if you want to stop wars, you know, has Kim Jong-un got a sister? Was that?
yes. It's Kim Jong, Kim Jong Kim.
Kim Jong Kim, yeah.
And she probably.
Unfortunately, they share the same hairdresser. But
and the same tailor. Yeah. So it's
so,
not.
So Americans.
It's not great. We weren't going to war with Americans. So this might not be as great.
Mm.
But
a Russian might have been. I'm always getting stuff in my email box for beautiful Russian girls that want to be brides.
Yeah.
Maybe he must have. There's the reason why he's ignored them. Because they look lovely, some of those ladies. I'm sure they're very attentive. But like, it's can't be much of a marriage because, like, he's a royal, which means everything has been done for him. He will literally have a dresser, someone who dresses him. Everything is done for him. He's a royal. And the one thing that wives hate the most is when you don't do anything and you don't know how to do anything. He's really
good. And he's always had this.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I constantly get into trouble because I do not know how to use the washing machine. In fact, I'm banned from going near it in case I set the wrong setting and
yes,
whatever, yes. Right? He won't even know what a washing machine is. Never mind how to, you know, he won't be able to iron his own shirt. He won't be able to do any of those things that men get nagged about not being able to do. But at least I can say I know how to do some men stuff. He won't even know how to do that.
I put the clothes in that boxy thing. I didn't know. I don't know what the buttons do. Mm. I didn't push any of them.
Mm.
But I put the thing. I put the closey things in that box.
Mm.
So is that good? Is that right?
Mm.
I did that.
Mm. We get into trouble if we fold something the wrong way. He's never folded anything in his life. He's not husband material.
And you know what? I was looking at the line of succession.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fifth in line behind his brother and his brother's two kids.
So the little baby is ahead of him in line.
Yes.
George
and the George's sister.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there's another one, isn't there? Yeah, bloody royals.
And there's
breed
a
like
third
tribbles
on the way.
There is. There's one up the duff. The one that's the fetus is further up the chain than he is.
Will be, yes.
Right now, the fetus is further up the chain than him.
Yes. She will be fifth, and he'll get kicked down to sixth when she's born next summer.
Yes.
Or he's born next summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So after Meghan has married him in the spring, he will get demoted.
Yes.
Mm. And so will she, I suppose, because she's not married to the fifth in line anymore. She's married to the sixth in line.
but they'll still be the princess and princess of something.
Oh, they'll give them something. We've had we've got the Duchess of Cornwall. We've got Cambridge. Oh, well, there's still plenty of other.
He's the prince from Wales.
Prince Charles is the Prince of Wales.
No, but he.
You got the Duke of Edinburgh, the Duke of York. By the way, these are all places they never visit. You know, Wales, York.
He's the prince from somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Not of somewhere.
Yeah.
Not that he's the sovereign.
Yeah.
He's just from somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. But she'll get somewhere. She will be given the duchy of somewhere that she's never been. And the people there will have no say in it.
Yes, they will say, who?
Yeah.
And what show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Harry's official title, I've just Googled it. He is Prince Henry of Wales. That is his... He's not even Welsh. He's probably not
being... he's not the Prince of Wales.
No. He's Prince Henry of Wales.
Yes, of Wales.
Yeah, because his mother was married to the Prince of Wales, which is Prince Charles, making Princess Diana probably the Princess of Wales. So there has to be some Wales thing in there, which means Meghan will get something Welsh as well.
Well, his Prince Charles is the Prince of Wales.
Yes,
but he's the Prince of Wales.
Yes, he is.
Harry is from Wales.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Which, it doesn't mean of. From, he's not the official sovereign.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just from.
Yeah. Even though he's not from Wales. He's born in London. He's a Cockney.
Yes. And Charles is obviously not from Wales.
No. Neither of them are Welsh. No. And the Welsh don't get a say in any of this. A lot of the Welsh don't even like the English.
I think most of the Welsh hate the English.
Yes, they do.
For that very reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that would be like me suddenly declaring myself the Duke of Philadelphia. It's just like, don't the people in Philadelphia get a say in this? Don't they get any say in this at all?
Nope.
Just, whole thing is nuts. I don't know. Well, I wish them well. I hope they're very happy. I hope they don't get divorced. Wow, that's going to be messy.
Oof.
Wow. You know, she might get wherever she gets. Like maybe they give her. I don't know where they're going to give her. But they're going to give her a major city or even part of a country. I mean, they could even give him Scotland. The Duke of Edinburgh is the Duke of Edinburgh. The jocks really hate the English, and he's the Duke of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So they're going to give her somewhere.
Well, where's Fergie these days?
Yeah, I don't know where she is. But she married Andrew, who was the Duke of York.
Yeah.
So she was the Duchess of York. Yeah. So, well, York's been taken, Wales is gone, Edinburgh's already done, Cambridge is done. There's still lots of other places. You know, they can give them the Isle of Wight or something, I don't know. You know.
she'll be the Princess of East Anglia.
I hope they make her the Duchess of Liverpool, because the Scousers...
yeah, good luck with that.
Oh, that would be sensational. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't put it past them making her the Duchess of Manchester or Birmingham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Sheffield or Leeds. Any of the big northern industrial cities might be fun. But it'll probably be somewhere like Gloucester or Bristol. One of the southern softy towns. But in a divorce, who will get that town, or at least half of it? That's how it would work.
The Duchess of Newcastle.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, whatever.
Yeah. They should find somewhere really terrible like Scunthorpe. Make her the Duchess of Scunthorpe. Or Hull. The Duchess of Hull.
Duchess of Hull.
That's just because she's American. Just so that no other American actresses get any ideas. Predicting the future is not worth it, because eventually you'll be proved wrong. I'm going to download the new Blade Runner film. I can't remember much about the original film, so I decided to watch that one again. Well, what a disappointment that old film is. I suppose when it came out in 1982, it was fine. But now, it just looks silly. The biggest surprise is that it's set in 2019. Well, that's in just over a year's time. And I can't see the year after next being quite so dystopian. I also can't see the development of flying cars coming along in the next couple of years. Flying cars isn't the only prediction the film got wrong. People were smoking. Indoors. And Harrison Ford's character was reading a newspaper. Photographs were printed on paper, because no one had a smartphone. When Harrison had to make a phone call in a bar, he used a payphone. Okay, it was a video payphone, but it wasn't Skype. The original Blade Runner was made 35 years ago. The world we live in now is nothing like what Ridley Scott predicted. The only thing we can learn about the future from watching the original Blade Runner is that we have no idea what life will be like in 35 years' time. It's impossible to predict the future. And we get proof of that every day from the people who predict our weather. What's on your mind, Roger?
Restarting my life in a foreign country.
Oh, that's right, of course. You're getting out of this crappy little, dinky little, stupid island that's very narrow-minded.
Well, you've a large part of it, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Present company excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So when are you moving to Germany?
Out of necessity, it will have to be sort of by, September, say 6 months ahead of D-Day.
Okay, and what are you going to do there? You got work lined up?
Hopefully by then. I mean, plan Z is to work in McDonald's.
Really? You would rather work in McDonald's in Germany than in your current job in Britain?
But as the Germans would say, jein.
Right.
Yeah, yes, no.
Oh, I see. They actually have a word for yes, no. Great.
You see, my wife is one of those apparently rare cases of EU nationals who don't qualify to stay.
Why doesn't she qualify to stay?
Because she's a housewife, therefore hasn't paid any income tax, hasn't got medical insurance because we were told we didn't need any.
But as your wife,
spent a lot of time out of the UK, and being my wife doesn't count for anything.
It doesn't count for anything.
No.
Oh, really?
No. Okay. Everybody says, oh, you know, like automatically because you're married. End of story.
Yeah.
You can stay. You're married. You know.
Yeah.
Nah. It works in Germany.
Yeah.
Because we're married, pretty much end of story.
Yeah.
Because there's a right to have a marriage.
Yes.
I have concluded from that the UK isn't such a Christian country as people might think it is, because it doesn't seem to value marriage above money.
Yeah, well,
which is pretty much what it comes down to.
I wouldn't want to live in a Christian country. I don't want people being stoned to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath. I really don't want any of those Christian values. So I'm glad we're in a secular society.
Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah!
Isn't that the best film ever? Isn't that just greatest?
Did I ever tell you? You know John Cleese voted for Brexit?
Yes, he did. He's a Lib Dem I spoke to him. I sat with him for an hour. I interviewed him, about 18 months ago.
He's a clever man, but
he is an intelligent man, but he voted for Brexit. I don't know.
Call me cynical, but anybody who's in business, I'm thinking of Mr. Dyson, for example.
Yes.
Who voted for Brexit has a very vested interest somewhere probably in the tax evasion department.
Well, it might not be that, but it'll be there'll be some kind of regulation that stops them gouging the punter, and this regulation will disappear. And you know what the bloody Tories are like anyway? They look after the it's an old boy network.
Exactly.
So not that I'm a socialist. I mean, I hate bloody socialists as well. For me, I'm socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. But I mean conservative with a small c. I'm a total capitalist. I think the capitalist system is a beautiful thing. But who do you vote for in this country? The socialists are anti-capitalism, and the bloody Tories are all old boy toffs and bloody Etonians and stuff. Pure capitalism, pure entrepreneurs. Well, where's the party for them?
I must be a centralist or whatever they call it, because I think capitalism is probably the only system which can work, but I think it's gone a little bit too far.
It needs regulation. Oh, don't get me wrong.
As a common man.
It needs regulation. But exactly. The thing for me is, if someone is really down on their luck, is really down and out, is really having a real problem, socialism...
Freelunchsociety.net.
Right. Well, if someone is really you know, at the bottom of the pile, socialism will keep them there by giving them handouts. Capitalism, if they can find something, if they can get off their arse and go and do something and work their way out of it, capitalism will let them out and set them free.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And there is a blend. You need a blend of different philosophies. This thing that all one is right or all the other one's right. But people support them like bloody football teams. It's more important than that. You know, they just take a side.
There's two types of people on this planet. I've sorted that out ages ago. Forget race, colour, creed, religion, all that bollocks. You're even an arsehole or you're not.
Oh, that's it,
you're
Roger.
Apply that rule to anybody.
That is it. You're either you're absolute, Roger. That is the most sense I've heard on this program.
We're going here on broadcast. Though.
I wish we could. The British Prime Minister Theresa May must love Donald Trump. You see, there's a big fuss in Britain right now and calls for the president to be banned from coming here. It's all because Donald retweeted anti-Muslim videos posted by a far-right group called Britain First. In a speech, Theresa May said, "I am very clear that retweeting from Britain First was the wrong thing to do." Now, the reason why Theresa is secretly happy about all of this is because it's totally taken the focus off Brexit. Since we voted to leave the EU, the whole thing has been a shambles. Brussels set the divorce bill at £50 billion. Theresa and her government have been telling us that they're negotiating. Well, that's a lie. We've no bargaining chip here. We can't walk away from the deal because that would mean staying in the EU. And that can't happen because there was a referendum and we voted to leave. It's going to cost us whatever the EU say it's going to cost us. At one stage, Britain offered £40 billion. And now, after all this negotiating, we're back to the original figure of £50 billion. The EU haven't budged. And why should they? One of the other things that they're negotiating is on what will the only land border between the EU and the UK look like. This is the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Our politicians are claiming that they're negotiating so that we don't have a hard border, because a hard border in Northern Ireland after Brexit would affect more than 7,300 companies that export to the Irish Republic, or roughly 15% of the businesses in the region. And once again, we're going to get whatever border the EU says we're going to get. It's not up to us because we're leaving. The politicians are just trying to make it look like Britain has some kind of say in all of this. And we don't. One day, people will realise that there is no negotiation going on. Britain is powerless because we have no leverage. And that day has moved a little further into the future because of Donald Trump and Twitter. God bless America. How's this horrific story? About a lady in Dublin. She's eaten a bag of chips on the seafront. A seagull swoops down, tries to steal a chip from her mouth, and cuts her lip wide open. It was a brush with wildlife. What's your brush with wildlife story, Neil?
When I was out in Australia earlier this year, sitting out in the sea with a group of surfers, and we saw a fin about 25 metres out.
Oh, no.
And, they told me it was only a little shark, so not to worry and carry on surfing, at which point I was out of the water.
Exactly. And whereabouts was this in Oz?
This was in Coolangatta, near the coast.
Wow.
But yeah, that
you
was,
had a brush with a Nobby Clark and survived.
Yes, it was a big, big story.
Sometimes following procedure makes you sound like an idiot. My Christmas present this year is a dash cam. I want to get one hardwired into my car. Now, before I go ahead and do this, I need to know how that's going to affect my warranty. So I called up the main dealer and I told the lady on the other end of the phone what I wanted to know. And she goes, "What's your registration number?" Well, I couldn't work out how what's on my car's number plate could have anything to do with whether having a dash cam hardwired would affect my warranty, but I thought, oh, well, I'll play your silly game. So I gave her my number plate, and then I heard her tap away at a computer. And then she said, "Thank you, Mr. Mac, I'll put you through to the service department." She wanted my number plate so she could find out my name. Here's a crazy idea. Why not just ask me? Why not go, "Oh yeah, dash cam fitted. Will that affect your, what's your name? It's Graham Mac. Okay, wait a second, I'll put you through." That's all she had to do. Like a human being, not a machine. It turns out, having a dash cam fitted doesn't affect your warranty. But calling a car dealership to ask about it can affect your sanity. When have you had an encounter with an animal? Tracy.
Well, it happened to my son at a big garden centre, and he got attacked by a turkey.
Oh, like a... They have turkeys walking... They have turkeys walking round, do they?
Well, you know, they've changed it now, but they had this area where there were all the turkeys and geese and all the little... like animals like that were.
Yeah.
And he was sort of, he was only two.
Right.
So he was standing looking at the turkey.
Yes.
And it poked its head through the square bar and pulled his eyelid. Got his
eye. Oh, how horrific. You're laughing at that, Tracy. It could have blinded the poor kid.
No, it was actually horrific at the time.
I bet.
It was. I'm not laughing. Sorry. A nervous laugh.
Shocking mother you are. Goodness me.
No, I'm dreadful. Sorry.
This is
no, he was okay, but actually, on all seriousness, it could have been very bad.
It could have been very bad. Very bad.
And that's why they changed their fencing, because they didn't really care much that it had happened.
Oh, didn't they?
Or not.
Didn't they?
No, they weren't that fussed at all, and so I did say I was going to take it further and if something was done, because it could happen to another child.
Well, you could have been in for a bit of compo there. I mean, he's...
No, I called up about it and they said unless he was blinded, there's not much you can do about it.
Oh, really? Sorry, so you're laughing again? Goodness me.
I'm sorry. I think it's a nervous laugh.
Yes.
But,
is he okay?
He's okay. He just pulled. The turkey had done was he'd got at the top of his eyelid and pulled it completely out, and it was cut. I mean, it was cut and bleeding.
Wow! It really was horrific.
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. But they changed all their wiring, because now they've got tiny little wire fencing
right
now, where the bird can't get his head through.
Can't get his head out. No. And what's your son's name?
Archie.
And is Archie scared of birds now?
He's next to me. Do you want to hit him?
Yeah, put him on. How old is he now?
Archie? Archie?
Yeah?
Say to Graham. Graham wants to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Morning, Archie. How old are you now?
11.
11. Now, do you remember this incident when a turkey tried to blind you?
Remember at the back of my hand.
Oh, you remember it? Right, okay, you remember it well. Now, are you scared of big birds now?
No.
No, all right. And is the eye fine, you know, 8 years later? Or 9 years later, everything all right?
It still always feels a little more numb than the other one, but...
Oh, yeah, does it? Okay. So you've got a lasting injury?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's
the first I knew of that. Thank you.
I told you that.
Jesus, some... Jeez, look, he's told you. You're not even listening. You laughed at him when he nearly got his eye ripped out by a turkey, and now you're not listening to him as his ongoing problems over this, Tracy.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for calling, and thanks to Archie.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Jeez. Archie's in real trouble. Yep, she should be putting money away for his therapy now. Why do simple devices confuse intelligent people? The main office at the radio station where I work, Bob FM, is kept warm by one large electric heater. But nobody knows how to use it. It's got two simple controls. A thermostat numbered 1 to 6 and a power knob marked min, med and max. You control the room temperature with the thermostat and the amount of heat that comes out of it with the power knob. That should be obvious, but not to the people that work at Bob FM. I got in there this morning and the place was freezing. I checked and the thermostat was set all the way up at 6, but the power setting was on min. Min means that hardly any heat was coming out of the thing. A bowl of warm custard would have given off more heat. There's no way it could keep up. I think the problem is, people aren't good with numbers. The 1 to 6 on the thermostat confuses them, so they try to control the temperature with the power setting because they understand min, med and max. They must think that relates to room temperature. Either that or they think they're personalised settings designed to reach the perfect temperature for two girls called Minnie and Meadow and a bloke called Max. Tis the season to be a Wally. That means the news media are always looking for a modern-day Scrooge, and this year they found one in Cornwall in the southwest of England. It's a bloke who's so mean he won't spend more than £4 on his Christmas tree. And his wife's only allowed one Christmas present, and he has to buy that from a charity shop. Who do you know that's that cheap? Bonzi.
Oh, my dad was so tight.
Yeah?
I'll tell you what, if he found a plaster, he cut himself.
The death of radio has been greatly exaggerated. In the connected world we live in, on-demand entertainment is only as far away as your phone. You might think that broadcast radio is on the way out. Well, there is a place where radio is still the first choice. In the car. Yes, you can connect your phone wirelessly to your car's sound system and listen to streaming services, MP3s and podcasts, but I've found evidence that shows that in the car, broadcast radio is still number one. Next week, I'm having a dash cam fitted in my car, so I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos of dash cam footage. Along with the pictures, you get audio from inside the car. Guess what most people are listening to when they're driving? That's right, broadcast radio. So, either radio is the king of all media in the car, or listening to the radio in the car causes accidents. When have you been attacked by an animal? Neil.
Many moons ago, I was going out with this girl, and I thought I'd take her to the zoo for the day.
Yeah.
And this is down at Crystal Palace. I bought her a nice big bunch of flowers, you know, to win her heart and everything.
Yeah.
So we were walking around the zoo, but I don't know, for some unknown reason, I sort of hid the flowers from them. I kept them behind my back all day. I was walking around like Nelson with one arm.
Right.
Showing.
Yeah, because you wanted to wait till the right moment.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, yeah. I got to the moment, and I presented with these what I thought were flowers, and a bloody goat had eaten them all behind my back. Yeah, well.
Yeah. Oh,
I've never lived that one down, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'll be. Well, that's it for this episode, but coming up on future episodes, Tony Hendra, the British satirist who worked on National Lampoon in the US and was also the manager in This Is Spinal Tap. He's coming up on the show. Singing legend Engelbert Humperdinck will be a guest on London Calling. And on the next episode, it's part two of my chat with the astronaut Terry Virts. Hope you can come back for those. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Graham Mac. You want to hear more Mac Nuggets? Check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, and subscribe to my Bob FM show on Apple Podcasts. Got a question or something to say? Send me an email. Put your phone number or your Skype details in the email. I might talk to you on the show. My email address is graham@macmedia.co.uk. .uk, and you spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next time, ta-da.